FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. It's Kerry Lutz, Financial Survival Network, here at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Pretty good crowd here. My first one attending. And if you're around, just send an email to kl@kerrylutz.com and we'll connect. And I'm sitting down right now. We've got Mickey Fulp. You know him well. Mickey, you're a geologist, mercenarygeologist.com. We've been having our conversations now for years. And joining me in the discussion is Dan Amadouri. You know him well, too, futuremoneytrends.com. And Mickey's got some interesting insights into gold, uranium, and other resources. So let's get with it. Mickey, it's great to see you, man.
It's great to see you, Kerry. We talk via Skype all the time, but we only run into each other two or three times a year, it seems now. And good to see your smiling face and sit across the table and have a chat.
And Dan, we go back to the last Liberty Mastermind conference that we had back, I guess it was in Vegas, and you've been busy yourself.
Yeah, it's been a tough climb during the bear market, but some of the better companies are actually up, and certainly the better companies are not seeing the significant downturn the TSX Venture has seen. But I'm happy to be here, happy to ask Mickey some questions today. Mickey gets to go to a lot more of these conferences than probably anybody I know, and he's also goes back and forth between Vancouver and the States. I don't know if you have a secret location. I don't want to put you out like that.
A secret undisclosed location in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So
Mickey, conference-wise, what do you see here? Anything of interest that you should be aware of?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is especially these, what I would call boutique conferences, where people actually pay to attend. The investors pay a significant amount of money to attend here. So what we see in these things, and there's four or five of them a year in various parts of the States and Canada, a good and a smart retail investor crowd who are committed to this business. And what we also see, especially in this bear market, is increasingly we see only good companies. So we're seeing the survivors, we're seeing the good companies that still can raise money, that are active either in exploration or mining or both. And so I'm continually impressed over the last couple of years with the crowds that these conferences attract, the intelligence of the investors, and also the quality of the companies.
Mickey, last night I was at a dinner with Marin and Doug Casey. There's probably about 10 other people. They went around the room for everybody's best stock pick. Outside of, actually, even Marin. Marin had a alternative energy company. The other people were saying Facebook, Google, Tesla. Doug's wife was mentioning some tech company. So it basically what I'm asking is, are we at a bottom when newsletter writers and people who are in this business, they're not even suggesting resource stocks right now?
Well, geez, I don't know why anybody would try to buy Tesla right now with its market cap. You know, these things are trading at all-time highs. So I'm a contrarian. And so when you're looking at Facebook or Tesla, what else you mentioned? Google, maybe?
Google, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those things are, they're speculative stocks. You know, they've gone up. I mean, Tesla has got a market cap. It's just, it's ridiculous what it is. And especially when they're selling, 40,000 electric cars a year? It's all built on the cult of personality of Elon Musk, in my opinion. And $4.9 billion in government subsidies. That company has never in its history met its goals of car sales. So what's going to turn that? You know, well, now we have the battery storage thing, which remains, you know, I think they have a few thousand orders in advance for those. Well, a few thousand orders not going to justify what is the market cap? It's something in like $300 billion or something like that. If I'm wrong, then we'll try to correct that.
It's outrageous.
So my point would be, why would anybody pick those stocks when they've gone essentially exponential over the last couple of years? When stocks go exponential like that, they're just set up to go parabolic and come down on a ski slope on the other side. So I would prefer to go into sectors that are beaten up and out of favor right now. That's where the real money's made, contrarian ideas.
Is that really a strong sign of a bottom, though? The fact that you got resource people. I mean, the Agora guy the other day said that he wrote a coal article, and Agora told him, no, you cannot publish a coal article. Isn't that a bottom? I mean, isn't this just the...
Well, you may be completely right about that. I hadn't really considered that. I refuse to call the bottom in this market. I've called it once before for the Venture Exchange Index. I called it, 2.5 years ago at 1100 at the Cambridge House Conference in January. And it seems to me like all we're doing is we're downlegging all the time. Now, bear in mind, the Toronto Venture Exchange Index covers about 1,200 or 1,400 companies. So you've got a lot of have-nots in there. This business has gone from there's a dichotomy, a bifurcation, if you will, of the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are the ones we see at a show like this, New Orleans Investment Conference. And then you have all the have-nots and the zombie miners. We have 700 zombie miners who have negative working capital, and some of them millions of dollars of working capital. That all factors into the index. But what we have seen time and time again are these downsteps. So every summer doldrums, every tax loss season, you see another downstep and a little bit of a rally after those things, but then lower lows and lower highs all the time in the index. So I refuse to call the bottom in the market.
Well, it's an interesting...
Sorry for the long-winded answer, but I don't know how else to say it, I guess.
Well, it's interesting what you say about those stocks that have gone parabolic. I always go back to Benjamin Graham, father of modern securities investing, who said you could have the best company in the world, and it can be trading at a valuation that makes it speculative, and then you can have these other companies... And also, he's the father of value investing, where they're trading at such a discount to their intrinsic worth that they're screaming buys. And are there screaming buys in the mining and in the resource sector, Mickey?
Yeah, I think so, most definitely. You know, I was at a dinner last night on a world-class copper project, and the valuation of that is ridiculous right now, and that asset will be mined in the next up leg, and it's remote, but it's high grade, and you know, every good geologist knows that grade is king, and there's a lot of really good projects out there that are suffering right now that have good grade, and those will be the mines in the next up cycle.
Do you foresee uranium having a turnaround before the other, since uranium went down and entered a bear market in a few years before the others?
Well, I would hesitate to say before the others, but of all the commodities right now, I'm really focused on uranium. I think in the midterm, the supply-demand fundamentals of uranium is compelling. There's some behind-the-scenes manipulation of that market right now underfeeding of tails and taking highly enriched uranium and underfeeding tails, and that has affected the spot market. The DOE is involved in that, and you know, it's when the Obama administration is out of office, which is another 15 months or something, I hope that we will see a turnaround in that dumping of a DOE surplus uranium, which every time the spot price seems to go up and hit about $40, and here comes that slug of 3 or 4 million pounds of U308 equivalent, whether it's as conversion tails or whatever, but they seem to keep knocking the market down. So, yeah, I see uranium turning in the midterm here.
And there's still some solid producers, even at these prices, though.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm focused on domestic U.S. production or soon-to-be production, and, you know, just to plug for a couple of companies, Energy Fuels is a company I own and cover, and they sponsor my website. And their contracts are at about $58 a pound for the next 4 years. I also cover a company, Uranium Resources Inc., which now has a pathway to production with its soon-to-be completed acquisition of Anatolia Energy with their project in Turkey, a robustly economic ISR project. And then I cover an Athabasca prospect generator, Kanalaska Uranium, with 15 projects in the Athabasca Basin. About five of those are joint ventured, some world-class potential and world-class partners who have funded the exploration. So I'm very bullish on that company. Yeah, so uranium looks compelling in the mid to short term. You know, we're building 66 reactors right now worldwide. Where's the uranium going to come from?
And we just started fueling the first new American reactor built since I was a kid.
Yeah, the newest U.S. Reactor, Tennessee Valley Authority, has commissioned a new reactor within the last month. It will soon go critical, and we're building another four, two in South Carolina, two in Georgia right now. So what we're doing in the United States, we're replacing some of our older, smaller reactors with new generation, safer, and larger reactors, which there's a higher demand for uranium.
With Energy Fuels, you mentioned it was a client of yours.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the whole, you know, URZ coming together with them? And it seems like the URZ management was very, very effective in getting their story out, and the new takeover management is not there yet.
I haven't really noticed that. Certainly, I was very much in favor of the Uraners acquisition because I was a shareholder of both companies. I know some of the Energy Fuel shareholders who did not hold Uraners weren't real happy with the valuation that was paid by Energy Fuels, but I profited because I own both companies. So, certainly the ISR production, it gives them the ability to produce even more uranium. They are the only combination ISR, or one of two in the world, I guess, them and Cameco, who produce both conventional uranium and ISR uranium. So they can ramp up to 8 to 10 million pounds a year when the price rises, and you know, their current contracts, $58 a pound, they're making money on both ends of the business.
Good deal. And so, predictions about the price of gold. I know you have an opinion here. Many of you out there thought that the recent bump up in the price of precious metals was the end of the bear market. Well, think again.
Yeah, I wrote a couple of pieces in the last 2 weeks, one called Why Gold Ain't Going Anywhere Anytime Soon, and I followed that up the next week on a piece called The Seasonality of Gold. But what we really showed is over the last 12 or 13 years, you have a June high, June 1 to 15, an early to mid-June high, followed by a summer doldrum low and sometime in late June to late August. Then a rebound and an October high. And in 9 of the 13 years, the October high exceeded the June high. But it hasn't for the last 3 years. And it's very well explained with supply demand fundamentals. This June summer doldrum to October pattern that we see year over year over year, and it's summer doldrums. Everybody's away. There's really no demand. In October, late September into October, you have the two wedding, the two Indian festival seasons. India is the largest consumer, or second largest now next to China, of physical gold, and the Indian wedding season. So this is a pattern that occurs time and time again. What we also showed that over the last 4 years, since gold hit its peak in September of 2011, that we have, with one exception in 2012, continued to make lower lows and lower highs. And any technical analyst will say that's a major bear market trend. We have not seen that end yet. So this little blip of gold to 1184 came off very quickly. It's 1154 closed yesterday. Don't know what it is this morning, but I don't think gold's going anywhere anytime soon. And I'm taking bets right now on the closing price of gold. Yeah, Kerry just showed me right now gold's at 1142 this morning. So it's off another 12 bucks. But anybody wanting to make a bet, I'm taking bets on the over under of gold. I'm taking the under at 1300 on the New York close on December 31st. And the bet is a $100 bottle of wine. Loser buys, and we drink it together. So that's kind of a win-win bet.
Well, it's not a bet that I'm willing to take, and we got to wrap up. So, Mickey, obviously, we find your work at mercenarygeologist.com. You got a couple of other sites. Just tell us what they are.
At Mercenary Geo is the Twitter feed, now up to almost 51,000 Twitter followers. And as per usual, can listen to this interview at mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right, and you have real Twitter followers, unlike some of our presidential candidates who load on the fake ones. And Dan, your site?
FutureMoneyTrends.com. You can reach out to me anytime.
All right. Hey, guys, and of course, FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. You're already there now listening to this interview. And any questions, just shoot me an email. Thanks so much, guys, for joining me.
Hey, well, a lot of fun doing a dual interview.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to see you both again. I don't see either of you that much anymore in the bear market, but it's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Mick.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.